and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. In Minnesota, a mayor says two state lawmakers were shot in their homes this morning in what Governor Tim Walz says were targeted attacks.
My good friend and colleague, Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, were shot and killed early this morning in what appears to be a politically motivated assassination. Our state lost a great leader, and I lost a dearest of friends.
WCCO's Rich Chapman with more details.
In Brooklyn Park, police have issued a shelter-in-place for a three-mile radius surrounding the Edinburgh Golf Course for an emergency event. Officers are looking for a suspect in multiple targeted shootings who is considered armed and dangerous. The suspect is a white man with brown hair. He is wearing black body armor over a blue shirt and blue pants. Police say he may misrepresent himself as law enforcement.
Israel. Sirens are blaring as a new wave of Iranian missile attacks began early this morning. The Israeli military is urging civilians to head to shelters and warns that Tehran will burn if Iran continues its attacks. Israel attacked first over Iran's nuclear program. CBS's Haley Ott.
Israel said its assault was necessary to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. On Friday, global nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, warned of the serious risks of combat around nuclear sites.
At Arlington National Cemetery, a wreath-laying ceremony to mark the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army. This, as the nation's capital, is set for a massive military parade involving thousands of troops, more than 100 military vehicles, including tanks and flyovers. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Preparations for the parade have been underway for weeks as thousands of troops and spectators travel to Washington to attend. President Trump is also expected to attend, and this celebration happens to fall on the president's 79th birthday.
This as cities across the nation prepare to host No Kings rallies against the Trump administration's immigration raids and deployment of the National Guard and Marines in Los Angeles. The search goes on for victims of Thursday's flooding in San Antonio. At least 11 people died. KENS-TV's Megan Reyna.
Among the victims is 61-year-old Rudy Garza. He was on the phone with his wife while on the way to work. His daughter shares those last moments.
He said, "Oh my God, Sylvia, water's coming in my car." And she said, "Can you reverse?" And he said, "No, you don't understand. It's like an ocean's coming at me." And then she was like, "Baby." And then he was just, they both said, "There, I love yous." And she said the call faded away.
South Carolina has executed a man sent to death row twice for two separate murders. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs in the upper 60s, mid-50s tonight with some rain after midnight. For Sunday, chance of showers and storms and highs around 73. For Monday, scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the low 80s.
Right now, it's 62.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. Seth and I are going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit, talk about some great local events going on in our area. We got some Father's Day material we'll get into as well. But we kick things off with our great friends from the Southland County Humane Society. Denise joining us with our Pet of the Week. A big thank you to our friends at Milltown Coffee Shop sponsoring this segment. Appreciate them over there. Denise, how you doing?
I'm really great. Thanks. How are you guys?
Doing good. Thanks so much for being here today. We were in our pregame talking a little bit, and we were going to, you know, talk about some of the things going on over at the shop and that. You mentioned something about surgeries today that was really caught in Seth and I's ear.
We with our grant that we got to make additions and improvements to our facility, we do have a medical surgical suite now. So our part-time vet, our traveling vet that comes, is going to be doing surgeries in-house today for the first time, and we're very excited about that.
Amazing.
So I think off on the surface, we can kind of gather what that means and what it certainly means for the staff, for the animals. Mm-hmm. But is this something where if there is something that is time sensitive, a surgery that needs to be done sooner than later or something like that, that can be done now? That can be, or something within reason like that?
Something within reason, yes. If it's time sensitive, our vet is only there every other Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we would still continue to use our partner facilities like Portage County, Clark County, Adams County, for those veterinary services. But for the spays and neuters and simple things like that, extractions, we can do it in-house now. We're pretty excited
That's
to take
really
that
cool.
stuff.
Yeah.
And that seems like financially seems like a really helpful thing as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, is that cool?
Yeah.
That's really great to hear.
Great
very,
news.
Very cool.
Thank
to hear.
You.
And a big thank you to them. That's great. We appreciate them being a part of things over there.
Yes.
And of course, Denise, it is always kitten season.
No, it is. Yes.
But it feels like it is a lot of the time. So with that, we want to remind everybody out there, if you're looking for ways to impact your community, help our Humane Society, could always use some certain kitten stuff.
Yep, absolutely. We need kitten litter or litter, general kitten food. And then we're in need of distilled water this week because of the start of surgeries. A lot of that equipment requires distilled water,
right?
Unfortunately. So we're buying it by the gallon. If you have extra, drop it off for us.
Not one of those ones we would have thought of right away.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That's new.
Yeah, well, it's a good one, though, too. And I also want to remind everybody out there that as it's getting nicer out, we know that dog walking and things like that over at the Humane Society are very popular and
Correct.
People like to be a part of and everything. And by that, I mean me.
Yeah.
No, but there's others out there, too.
Right, of course.
When it comes to that, Denise, if somebody has not heard about that or knows much about that, would like to learn more or even be a part of it, how can they do that?
Go on the website under Get Involved. There's a volunteer application they can complete. If there's any issues and you aren't able to access it, just give us a call. We can walk you through it. We can get you signed up through our volunteer coordinator, and she will make sure that you have the proper materials and orientation and get you in there walking dogs or cats.
My fur brother, Sam, my parents got a nice backyard, mm-hmm. and he at night likes to go, just barking at things that are
of
moving
course.
Around back
yeah.
there. And I have a feeling that Sam is trying to invite them in. Deer, squirrels,
right, yeah.
there was a bear back there once. I'm pretty sure Sam, if he could open the door, is just trying to invite them in.
Sure.
Let his friends in.
They
yes.
want to play, right?
Yeah. It's a good thing he can't work the locks. But it got me thinking about something. And this came up years ago, and I just thought it would be good to kind of bring up one more time about when you come across wildlife and where to go for assistance with those things. Because our Humane Society is amazing. They do a lot of great things over there, but that's not really your guys' wheelhouse. That's not really your department.
Correct. You can always call us, and we will give you the appropriate rescues or people to contact for that, depending on the wildlife, what it is. If you find something injured, give us a call.
Yeah.
Or call our on-call phone if it's after hours, and we will guide you through it and give you the appropriate person to contact.
Nice.
Appreciate that, Denise. Mm-hmm. All right. I have made the audience wait long enough. Who is our pet of the week?
Buford. He is a big boy. He's got the body of a mastiff, and
Whoa.
He has the eyes of a husky. So he's like fawn colored, but he has these ice blue eyes.
Wow.
He's just spectacular. He's a big dog, though. He's young, maybe 2 years old, 2 to 3. He came in as a stray, so we don't have a lot of information on him. Other than that, he's a very nice dog. He's calm. He doesn't bark. He howls like a husky. but he's so far so good. Good around other dogs. We haven't exposed him to cats yet. But if you're looking for a big dog with a big heart, He's your guy.
There you go.
I don't do this enough, and it's a shame on me. You are so good at describing these animals. I've gone back and heard previous interviews. I cannot tell you how good you are at this.
Oh, thank you. I have a lot of help.
It would take me 20 hours to even get like half of that. And you described Buford perfectly. That is exactly what you're doing.
Thank
he has
you.
Got the body of a mastiff.
He does.
That, I don't know if I've ever seen that. He's a handsome dog.
He's interesting looking, yeah. And
yeah.
Our kennel manager puts these descriptions together, so I cannot take credit.
Both
I have a lot of help.
Both of you, that because you don't have any notes in front of you, so I mean that's pretty good.
Thanks.
You guys do a great job of this. The descriptions.
Thank you. Buford. We have to.
Buford seems like a very sweet dog too.
He is. He's big, but he's very sweet and calm. And he doesn't jump. He doesn't really pull on the leash. He's pretty good.
The bigger they are, the harder you fall for them.
That's right.
The harder you fall for them.
Absolutely.
It always seems to be. Now, also, I don't see an age on Buford.
We're unsure. He's young. Around two, but they haven't posted that yet. But he's pretty young, according to his teeth.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. And any other notes on Buford? It certainly has his shots.
Yep, he was just neutered this week, so he is ready to go.
All right.
Wonderful. And we want to encourage you to find out more about not only Buford, but all these amazing animals over at the Humane Society. Get them before I do. just reach out to the Humane Society to find out more. And keep in mind, everybody, if you are on the fence about something and you have concerns or questions or anything, maybe you're not sure if the animal would work with your other animals or with your kids, or you're a little bit older. I've talked to a couple of neighbors and my parents about this, and one of the neighbors have a great dog, but they're thinking of maybe getting another one because he's getting older, and they're uncertain because they're not as mobile. So talking about things like that, talk it out with the Humane Society.
Yep, absolutely, we have all the knowledge of all these dogs and how they will fit, and the right questions to ask to make sure they're a right fit for your family. So, yeah, give us a call. Stop in. We're happy to help.
Reach out to them anytime. You can email them, office@swchs.com. Give them a call at 715-423-0505, 423-0505. Be sure to reach out to them or at their location, 3621 64th Street North here in Wisconsin Rapids, and bookmark their webpage, swchs.com, swchs.com. Follow them on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on everything going on over there and to reach out to the Humane Society. Denise, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Do us a favor and give Buford a good one right between the ears there.
I will, for sure. Thanks.
And say hi to the team over there for us.
I will. Thank
and
you.
A big thank you to Milltown Coffee.
Yes.
Greatly appreciate our friends over at Milltown Coffee. 3821 80th Street South, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. They're open, everybody. They're open.
Yes. Ready to go. Ready to serve you.
Yeah, I'm going right now.
Good. Right on. Good. Say hi to them for us and everything. And enjoy. And we will have another edition of the Pet of the Week next week right here on WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I could just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. Today may be Seth's favorite day of the entire year.
Ooh, I thought that was last week when you had your anniversary.
Okay, all right. Let me be a little bit more specific.
Mm.
Today may be Seth's favorite National Food Day celebration of the year.
No, wait, hang on. Well, that's normally National Pie Day.
but that's in March. So you must be talking about something else.
Well, you were kind of on the right track, but think about your tier system.
Oh, okay. My pie tier system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for those of you who haven't explained this to in excruciating detail before, so I have a system. I don't have a favorite pie. I have a system of pies that are my favorite, mm-hmm. starting at the low end, which is basically any pie, you know, if it's there,
if
I'll
it's
eat
circle.
It kind of thing. But if you, as you move up, you get to like blueberry and apple and those kind of things. But I have to say that the top two, I've got two favorite pies, and the very top tier are pecan and strawberry rhubarb.
Today is National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day.
Oh, there we go. That's why. Okay.
And to celebrate, we're going to learn a little bit more about one of the key ingredients of this pie, rhubarb.
All right.
To look at the rhubarb plant, you might mistake it for a weed easily, but it's actually a hardy perennial in the buckwheat family.
Ooh.
According to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Wisconsin Horticultural Division of Extension website, hort.extension.wisc.edu, there are many species of plants called rhubarb, and not all are botanically related to the edible type. The ancient Chinese used it as medicinal herb for over 5,000 years.
Wow.
And they used it over 5,000 years ago. So it's
been around for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Native to southern Siberia, it got its name from the Russians who grew it next to the Ra River, now the Volga.
Oh, okay.
So for centuries, it was traded alongside tea as a cure for stomach aches and fevers.
Hmm, very cool.
So the English were the first to eat rhubarb beginning in the 17th century, but unfortunately chose to begin with the leaves that looked like shard.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's bad.
Yeah, the leaves, however, contain a toxic amount of oxalic acid and are very poisonous.
Yes.
So the ensuing cramps, nausea, and sometimes death from ingestion suppressed interest in this plant for about 200 years.
I can imagine why.
Whoa. Man, to think that there's maybe a version of this where nobody goes back and checks it.
Right.
And they just call it a weed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it just kind of never gets used for anything, and poor Seth is not happy.
I'm very unhappy right now. Yes, about that.
It makes me wonder, how did the Chinese know what part of the plant to use for its tea to be medicinal?
Oh, wow.
There was so much.
But the English didn't know to have that part.
There was so much trial and error that they did that we did not learn. Like, it's odd to think of it. It's only like the late 17th century that we're really actually experimenting more with food and drink and a lot of that. It was so much like, it's a great point. It's really interesting.
I can only imagine somebody getting the tea from China and going, oh, well, I have a rhubarb plant in my backyard. Let me just try and use that, and not going so well.
Well, and it's funny that the fact that the rhubarb stalk, yes, it's edible, but it's extremely sour.
It is.
The fact that my cousin, so my grandparents had a big patch of rhubarb in their backyard, and my cousin Philip would go and grab a stalk and just take a big bite, and then the faces he would make were absolutely hilarious. It was great for entertainment value,
like
if nothing else.
A baby a lemon.
Yeah, right.
the bonding experience kids have with eating things that are going to are nasty or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing.
It is.
It's very weird.
And it's sad that we get entertainment from that as adults.
Yes.
You know, I feel bad for the kids. But fortunately for Seth, a century later, the English did try again.
Right.
At hort.extension.wisc.edu, they shared by the late 18th century, Europeans had discovered that the tart stalks were the part to eat and perfect for quote-unquote tarts, giving rise to the nickname pie plant. It was brought to the Americas by settlers before 1800.
Amazing.
Really interesting.
The pie plant.
The pie plant.
It's even got that at home. I'm going to start calling it from that for now.
Pie plant.
Forget rhubarb. Pie plant.
Yes.
It's a pie plant pie, because that's a lot to say.
Yeah.
So I was curious about how this plant grows, because I've seen them grow in wild. I've seen them in backyards and all of that. So at some places I've lived, they were actually in my backyard. And, you know, my mother had a garden when we were living in Ohio, and it was in the garden. So the website helped me understand a little bit more about the growth of the plant. The herbaceous perennial grows 2 to 4 feet tall with large, smooth, heart-shaped basil leaves. So since I'm just a budding gardener, Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
I was expecting Seth to laugh.
Nothing.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to leave that list lay there where it belongs.
That
yeah.
That was awesome. That was great. I wish I had a laugh.
I'll try this again. Since I'm just a budding gardener.
You need sad trombone sound is what you need for that one. Yeah.
I looked up what basil leaves are. Well, basil leaves. So basil leaves are leaves occurring in a tight cluster or rosette at the base of the plant. Think dandelion.
Oh,
they also have basil leaves.
That's right.
So that's why you would look at the rhubarb plant and think that's just a weed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that they thought, well, let's try to eat that weed. And fun fact, you can also eat dandelions.
Yes, you can.
Use them for wine and all of that. So those, what we consider weeds, throw away, we don't want to see, actually do have a use in the kitchen.
Very sour flavor again, though.
Which you can change to
that's true.
Adapt, just like you do the rhubarb. Mm-hmm. On its own, no. But with dandelions, you can have them in, like, the leaves themselves in salads, and it gives it a little bit more of that peppery taste to it. So the website does go on to say the plant grows from large, fleshy, reddish-brown rhizomes with yellow interiors. The leaves emerge from crown buds when temperatures begin to exceed 40 degrees Fahrenheit in early spring. The thick, succulent red or green leaf stalks, petioles, grow up to 18 inches long and 1 to 2 inches in diameter, with leaf blades up to a foot or more in width. So
get pretty big, yes.
They can
it's
be
a big plant.
They
yeah,
they really are. And I noticed on the website, I didn't go into much detail, but they could also be used in landscaping. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty plant if you have them amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
So they seem to be easy to grow as well. Rhubarb is very easy to grow. The plants like fertile, well-drained soil, high in organic matter, but are considered somewhat adaptable. Lighter soils will produce an earlier crop, but require more irrigation and fertilization. Because this perennial will remain in the ground for several years, choose a site in full sun where they can remain undisturbed. Make sure to allow space for the large broad leaves to grow. Planting on raised beds for good drainage helps prevent the crown rot so that you can keep having more plants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Prepare the planting site in the fall by eliminating perennial weeds and working in manure, compost, or other organic matter. Incorporate fertilizer just before planting in the spring.
Ooh.
So you can purchase crowns or divisions from other plantings about 3 feet apart. Giving it that space will allow those leaves to grow out where they want to be. So you want to make sure you give them that space.
Gosh.
Set the pieces so that the buds are about 2 inches below the soil surface. Don't harvest any stalks the first year. Wait until the second or third year so the roots can establish themselves.
Mm.
And then you're going to have a good hardy plant that you'll have for years. Keep grass and other competitors away from the rhubarb. You may want to mulch in the winter after ground freezes to avoid heaving. Divide and reset plants about every fourth or fifth year to keep the plants vigorous.
In the research that you've done, Beth, have you come across this often where a plant you're supposed to leave alone for a while before harvesting it or anything?
Not so much plants, but certain trees.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
You let the first year go, and then it's the second year that you actually start to harvest. And that allows it to really fully come into maturity. And so you have the best fruit or result possible.
Right. I do know that rhubarb can grow basically anywhere if you let it, because it's the seeds, you know, when it grows up, they can be distributed widely when, you know, they get the air. I believe they're blown around by the wind, and they can end up coming up in different spots. I had a patch of rhubarb in the house I lived in Cloquet, Minnesota, and my neighbor asked that I would, you know, take off the stem with the seeds on it, because he said, you know, I don't want a bunch of rhubarb in my backyard, because he would blow right into his backyard kind of thing.
Huh.
So, but yeah, so it can grow pretty much anywhere if it finds a spot. Yeah,
it's as tough as it sounds, like rhubarb.
Yeah.
It sounds like rhubarb. It's a rhubarb. Yeah, it's
good hardy name for a good hardy plant.
Right.
So now that we know how to grow rhubarb, how can it be used in the kitchen? Well, rhubarb is typically used for jam, sauces, or in pies or other desserts, but it also works well as an accompaniment to savory foods. Because rhubarb is tart, it almost always needs to have some sugar added to make it palpable. We all know this. Rhubarb is most tender and flavorful flavorful in the spring and early summer, but it can be used throughout the season, which is why you see it at farmers markets throughout the summer.
Right.
So it makes sense that in June, the transition month from spring to summer, that we would celebrate one of the ways to sweeten up this tart plant. Strawberries do the trick, and the resulting pie is delicious. Some would say top tier.
I would. I would say top tier.
I don't make pies at home a lot. Seth can attest to that.
Probably just as well.
Yeah. But this simple recipe I found on food.com may change my mind about this one. So maybe I can make your favorite pie at some point. So you want to start by preheating your oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit and spray a, not muffin tin. You want to spray your pie tin so that your crust does not stick to the pie tin. Create your mise en place. And I talked about this last week. That's a term for gathering your ingredients in the way that they're going to be used for the recipe start to make the recipe.
Yeah.
So you do that by chopping 4 cups worth of rhubarb and slicing 2 cups of strawberries. And in a small separate bowl, lightly beat 1 egg. So in a larger bowl, combine the rhubarb, strawberries, 1/4 cup of cornstarch, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon. On a lightly floured surface, roll out 1/2 of the pastry, either homemade or store-bought, in a 9-inch pie plate. So when you buy pastry pie crusts at the store, you usually get 2 in a roll there. And it's designed because some pies, like the strawberry rhubarb pie, you have a top layer to the pie as opposed to being open.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want to get one of the pie crusts that has the 2 crusts in it. So the first one, you're going to roll out on the flour surface and then put it in the bottom of the pie plate. You're going to start to spoon that filling into the pie, roll out the pastry for a top crust, but then you're going to use a pastry reel or a knife to cut it into 1-inch wide strips. Brush the rim of with the beaten egg, the rim of the pie crust that you've already put into the pie pan. You're going to brush the edges of that with a beaten egg. And then you're gently going to weave the strips over the pie to form a lattice. You're going to trim that and flute the edges. That basically means to crimp the edges together.
And you can use a fork for that.
Then you're going to brush that lattice work all over with the beaten egg. That helps give it a nice golden brown when you're baking it. Sprinkle the top with sugar if you want to do that. That adds a little bit more of the sweetness to it. And you notice there wasn't any sugar added to the filling. The strawberries have enough sweetness to them that it helps balance out the tartness of the rhubarb. Bake on a baking sheet with sides in a 425 degree Fahrenheit oven for just 15 minutes. So the tip here is if you don't have that cookie sheet handy, make a drip container out of foil larger than the bottom of the pie plate and place it under the pie pan and up the sides loosely, because the filling will start to bubble and it can go up over the edge and you don't want to have a mess in your oven. So this helps prevent that. After that 15 minutes, you're going to leave it in the oven, but you're going to reduce the heat to 375 degrees Fahrenheit and bake for another 50 to 60 minutes longer, or until the rhubarb is tender, filling thickened, and the crust is golden. After you take it out of the oven, let it stand for 10 to 15 minutes before you cut it.
If you can stand.
Yeah. Don't leave it on the windowsill. I will be by.
Yes.
Be careful.
Now, I'm the kind of person that I'm a big crust person, so you could literally give me a crust and I'll be fine. I will be very happy with that pie crust that you gave me and stuff, but this sounds really tempting. This sounds really, I can see what you were talking about wanting to make it. It sounds really good.
And it sounds very simple to do. There's not a lot of ingredients. There are not a lot of steps to this one. Once you learn how to do the lattice work, and you can easily go onto YouTube or onto the internet and find recipes that will show you how to do the lattice. And you don't necessarily have to do the weaved lattice. You can figure out creative ways to make that pie top on top as
well. You can make it look good. So, and I think one of the reasons why it is one of my favorite pies is that combination of the sour and the sweet. And it's, you know, getting that balance between the two, because regular rhubarb pie, nothing wrong with that. But there's something about having the strawberries there that makes it that much better. And that's why it's one of my favorites.
And it tastes great. It's nice and sweet. It's top tier, if you will, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, we'd like to make your business the top tier, give your business a top tier treatment as a sponsor of our show. As a sponsor, we will highlight your business during the segment and in our newsletter. We could also share an interview with you or broadcast live from your business.
If you're interested in learning more about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Excellent.
Another great episode. Pie. Nicely done. Nicely done, Ben.
Pie. You need to do all of them about pie.
Yep. Next week, more pie.
More pie.
Actually, next week I'll be taking a week off, so you'll hear a best of episode next Monday. But then we'll be back the week after, and we'll see.
Who knows? All right.
Be on the lookout, everybody. Be listening for it. And please do us a favor and spread the word about this show and let all your business friends know and get them a part of the team over here. Thanks again, Beth. Nice work.
Thank you.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
CBS News Special Report. In Minnesota, a manhunt is on after the former State House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed in what Governor Tim Walz says was a targeted shooting.
Speaker Hortman was someone who served the people of Minnesota with grace, compassion, humor, and a sense of service. She was a formidable public servant, a fixture and a giant in Minnesota.
State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, who lived just 5 minutes away from the Hortmans, were wounded in their homes. Drew Evans with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety on the suspect.
At which time, Brooklyn Park police officers encountered an individual who immediately fired at them, and they exchanged gunfire. And then the individual was able to escape during that exchange of gunfire.
Authorities used the term manifesto, describing an item found in the suspect's car with a long list of lawmakers on it. CBS News Special Report. I'm Allison Keyes.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers battle the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals face off again today at AmFam Field. St. Louis trying to snap a 6-game losing streak. Last night, the Brewers held on to win 3-2 thanks to some good base running by Sal Frelick, who has also improved his play in right field.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to improve every year. I think last year I was definitely able to get to a ton of balls that I thought I really did a good job, with my first step quickness and stuff like that. And then, this year I think just the arm accuracy is something that I was working on a ton, worked on spring, and just making sure we're having clean transitions out there and just throwing it on the money. Doesn't need to be, whipped as hard as I can or, head snapping, pulling balls down, but just, making sure it's a good long hop, one hop, and getting it there.
And the Brewers are signing first baseman Aaron Vaughn to their Nashville team. The crew acquired Vaughn in that trade for pitcher Aaron Civale, who was sent to the last place Chicago White Sox. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs in the upper 60s, mid-50s tonight with some rain after midnight. For Sunday, chance of showers and storms and highs around 73. For Monday, scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the low 80s.
Right now, it's 62.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet.
Got your host, James, here, joined by Melissa.
Hello.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're welcoming to the studio here. Our good friend Art Stevenson is with us right now. Art, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Art, thanks so much for being here. Art, I appreciate you joining us, and we're going to talk a little bit about Bluegrass at the Lake that is going to be kicking off this Thursday over at Lake Wasicha in just a moment. But as we are getting ready to talk here, Art, I realize, you know, there might be one, and I do mean literally one person out there who does not know who Art Stevenson is. And we like to be, you know, we're an information station, want to make sure that everybody's caught up on all this stuff. Art, just real quickly, how long have you been doing this in this area? Playing folk music, playing great bluegrass.
Oh, I've been involved with bluegrass and other roots music styles in central Wisconsin since the late 1970s.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's been doing this
good
long
stuff.
Time.
Yeah.
It's, and sounded just as good as ever, sir. You sound really good. Art, you've been a part of Bluegrass at the Lake for a couple of times, haven't you?
Oh, I think I may have missed one so far, but I think we've played all but one, possibly. I've got to check my records on that. But yeah, they call us almost every year, and we love playing at Bluegrass in the Lake.
What is it about being a part of this one that is so important to you for as far as the show goes, or just in general?
Well, for one thing, it's a local bluegrass event, and when I first started playing music, it was very hard to find a festival anywhere near central Wisconsin. You had to travel out of state or up north to Mole Lake or something like that to go to a bluegrass fest. And so now we've got one for me right down the street, because I live out here in Babcock, and that's only about 20 miles from Bluegrass at the Lake. It's just a wonderful opportunity for people to enjoy great bluegrass music and for bands like mine to get a nice opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful opportunity for the exposure for our local creatives, our local artists out there, certainly. And we get a chance to have a good time with, the community looks forward to it. And certainly the fundraising and the awareness that's able to be brought with this event is certainly noteworthy as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And
yeah, Chip and Carolyn work really hard to raise funds for various target businesses and target organizations in the community. It's quite a noble cause, I think, this festival.
Yeah. Yeah. I encourage you to go to bluegrassatthelake.com, learn more about SISM and some of the other great things that they are raising funds for, and to have some fun. And while you're there, be sure to check out that band lineup. Art, when can people hear you during this great festival that we got going on Thursday through Saturday?
Well, we're the second band on the schedule on Friday afternoon. I think that that puts us into the evening, actually. I'm pretty sure our start time is around 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a band up ahead of us that I believe starts at 4. And so we're going to play a 90-minute set sometime around 6 o'clock. That'll be our start time.
Right on, right on. All right, real quick, before we let you go and everything, and I don't want to keep you too long, especially with the week ahead you guys got. I want to save that voice. I was talking earlier, we had Brian on the Sunrise Show over on 105.5. We had Brian from Southbound on, and we were talking, and we're kind of, there's something about bluegrass that is so just welcoming and inviting. The music to me has always sounded that way since I was a little kid. But the people, the crowds that come to these shows, the fans of the music, they're just as inviting as those notes. Have you noticed that too?
Oh yeah, you know, playing bluegrass for so many years around Wisconsin and even the Midwest, you end up making a lot of friends, and it becomes like a big family reunion every time you go to a bluegrass festival, whether you're playing or whether you're just there as a spectator or maybe a beginning musician who wants to jam. There are typically jam sessions at bluegrass festivals that occur out in the campground and so forth, and those are very, very frequently open to anyone who wants to walk in with their instrument and try to play. So it's like one big family. It really is.
Art, I know that you're going to be at Bluegrass this Friday and everything. Do you guys have anything else lined up this summer you want to promote and mention?
Oh my goodness, we've got a lot of things. I think the weekend after Bluegrass at the Lake, we're playing up at Flat Rock Bluegrass Fest, which is way up near the Michigan border, Armstrong Creek, and then that Sunday we're going to be down in Madison at sessions at Garver Feed Mill. And looking ahead, I won't bore you with details here, but looking ahead to late August, I run a festival in Rosholt, Wisconsin, which is called Bluegrass in the Pines, and that's the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of August.
Yeah. This is how long he's been doing it. This is how good he is and everything, because I want to not only rap there, Art, but I want to put you on the spot, live on the air, and make you have to come back to promote that. So that's what I'm doing right now.
We'd love to. I'd love to.
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent.
Cool. We're looking forward to it, Art. If people have follow-up questions, they'd like to kind of keep up to date with what you and the band are up to, I have highwatermusic.com. Is that the website? I got that correct?
That is correct. And so that's a good starting place, and we've got a lot of details on howardofmusic.com, and I also have a couple of Facebook pages that deal with bluegrass music.
Excellent. All right. Excellent. Art, not only appreciate you putting up with my questions and joining us here on the show and everything, but certainly the entertainment, the work that you have put into this state, into this area for many, many years. I know I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to hearing you again this weekend. Thanks a lot for joining us, Art.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to see you at Bluegrass at the Lake.
It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. We will talk with him again soon. Art will be joining us. You heard him, everybody. He's got to join us. No. Get to bluegrassatthelake.com to check out this amazing lineup. Things kick off this Thursday with Southbound. Taste of Bluegrass with the Silas Powell Band going to be there. Shout out to Tri-City Golf Club for that Friday. Nisho River Boys. Then Art Stevenson and the High Water. Mm-hmm. Silas Powell Band. Sorting the Mail. Great
name. That's a great name. Sorting the Mail. Fantastic.
Saturday, Handpicked Bluegrass, Silas Powell Band, Big Tooth Bluegrass Band, Chris Staton, and Chicken Wire Empire all going to be there. It is going to be so much fun this Thursday through Saturday over at Lake Wazeecha for Bluegrass at the Lake.
Yes.
And Chicken Wire Empire, I think that one wins.
That's pretty good.
Another great name, yeah.
And we're going to be giving away tickets for this great event. Be listening for that, everybody. And if that wasn't enough, we're not done. We'll be going to be there live and direct this Saturday.
Yeah, that's that is correct.
We are so excited about that. We are going to have Laura down there.
Yep, I believe I will be joining her for that. So, yeah. Cool.
I will run the board to make sure things go well.
No. They'll go fine.
They'll go good. They're going to be great. It's going to be
a lot of practice lately, you know?
Yes. That's very true. So we'll meet you there at Bluegrass at the Lake and take in every day, everybody. Not only great different music, but Bluegrass, I really wanted to hit on this with the guys today. Mm-hmm. It is something that really, really is inviting and welcoming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's something that Carolyn and I have talked about for, almost 10 years now. We've been talking with them and everything about this. this event. Bluegrass is one of those music, one of those styles of music. If you've never listened to a note of it, now is a perfect time.
Do it.
Now is a perfect time.
Pick it up. It's fantastic.
And you aren't going to find a better cause or a better event than Bluegrass at the Lake.
That's correct.
It's joyful.
It is.
Really, I love Bluegrass. I love it. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about these high school. No, wait a minute. We're going to do that a little bit later, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know what? We'll figure it out.
We're going to talk about something when
yes,
we come back.
We will.
There you go.
What else would we do? Play Tiddlywinks?
Yeah. We've tried that. It didn't work very well.
Not on radio.
No.
For some reason.
That was the pilot episode of this show. Yes, it was all the board games. It worked really bad. Come back after that at the morning show.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Keldon Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday. Socrates wondered about this topic 2,000 years ago, and Charles Darwin racked his brain about it. What is a tickle? And why are we so sensitive to it? We do not shy away from the heavy topics around here at WFHR. We will face them with you as a family, as a team, as a community. Let's talk about this. Why can't you tickle yourself? And how come some people aren't ticklish at all, while others seem to be like the wind hits them and they immediately feel ticklish? Neuroscientist Constantine Kilantine, what a name, believes we should tackle tickling research more seriously. And she's working with colleagues in a new tickle lab at Rabholm University to get some answers. A tickle lab.
I hope they serve pickles there. In the tickle lab.
Got it right. Quote, it's a complex interplay of motor, social, and neurological development and evolutionary aspects, says Killian, who says the subject is, quote, under-researched. If we know how tickling works at the brain level, it could provide a lot of insight into other topics in neuroscience.
Yeah, that's true.
Tickling can strengthen the bond between parents and children, for instance, but how does the brain process ticklish stimuli, and what is the relationship with the development of our nervous system? By investigating this, you can learn more about brain development in children.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Wow.
Here's another part I don't know if it's common knowledge. We know that apes such as bonobos and gorillas respond to ticklish touches, and even rats have been observed to being so. So we're not even the only species that it gets ticklish.
How about that?
From an evolutionary perspective, what is the purpose of tickling? What do we get out of this? The fact that you cannot tickle yourself is also interesting from a scientific point of view. Quote, because we know when we were, when and where we are going to tickle ourselves, the brain can't switch off the tickling reflex in advance. But we don't know what exactly happens in our brain when we are tickled. So that's like we have one piece of this puzzle. We don't really have a whole lot else to it.
Exactly.
Kilantine urges that these questions have not yet been answered because it has not been clearly defined what tickling actually is within the scientific community. There is a difference between when you tickle someone hard on your armpits and tickling someone's back or feet lightly with a feather. The first sensation is understudied, while we know much more about the second feather-like stimulation. So they created a chair with a plate that contains two holes in it. Study participants will place their feet through the holes, where a mechanical stick will tickle their soles. the way every tickle experiment is the same. That way every tickle experiment is the same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's nothing more reassuring than just stick your feet in this hole. You know, nothing bad's going to happen.
I wonder how much that plays into things,
the
too.
The psychological effect of, not knowing when you're going to get touched. Or, like, that would totally freak some people out.
Yeah, for sure.
The neuroscientists record exactly what happens in the brain and almost immediately checks all other physical reactions, such as heart rate, sweating, breathing, or laughter and screaming reactions.
Wow.
Quote, by incorporating this method of tickling into a proper experiment, we can have tickling researched seriously. Mm. The university media released. Not only will we be able to truly understand tickling, but also our brains. Because this is really what this is about, is figuring out the brain more.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But why is it only the feet?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're the most ticklish, maybe?
Mm. Yeah, for some people.
For some people, yeah.
I read two different articles on this, and I didn't see anything about that. Why the feet? That's a good question, though. It seems like children are more ticklish than adults, but maybe it's just that the real world conditioning has tampered down the childish mirth through the years.
Could be.
Maybe the experiments in the lab will spur people to be more inclined to tickle their loved ones or tickle their own funny bone. My mom has three sisters. And for a very long time, they were as thick as thieves. Nothing could. They had odd chemistry and a way of reading each other. Mm. And I know this because for two Christmases in a row, they thought it'd be hilarious when they got bored and had a little bit of wine. Each one of them grabbed a limb while one of them would tickle me.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm ticklish anymore because they did this so much that I actually don't think I'm that ticklish anymore. I'm sure it's some parts of me, but I'm numb to it almost. And I guarantee you somewhere my mother is laughing her tail off right now.
Remembering.
She has no idea why. Yeah. You said you had some, Melissa.
Well, you know, I got tickled so much as a kid that from my older brother and probably, you know, other family members, but I learned how to turn it off. Mm-hmm. So that I could stop being ticklish, so that they would stop tormenting me.
Right.
Because I was like, you know, I don't know. Tickling is it can be fun. Obviously, mm-hmm. there are, but when you take it too far, it can also be torture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a weapon mm-hmm. against people. In a way, or children, right. I guess, is a better way of looking at it.
Kids on kid crime. I mean, it's something that we do all the time as kids. So we're threatened to tickle each other. Mm-hmm. Or
but it can also be fun, you know? Yeah. Like, I have a fun relationship with Quinn, who is Laura's youngest daughter, and she loves being tickled. But, you know, I never do it where it hurts.
Right.
And that's the difference. Because that was something that happened to me as a child, and I'm like, it's not fun then.
Well, it becomes invasive.
Yes.
After a certain point, mm-hmm. and there's always a point.
Yes, where when you're overstimulated.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I'm sure it's different for many different people. You know, we're all at different levels on this kind of thing. But yeah, there really is to the point where it does become a problem that just should know. You need to stop. Yeah.
But it's interesting that I felt like it was a superpower when I was a kid. Like, I can turn it off. You can tickle me and I won't
that
react.
That is a superpower.
Unless you're, like, hurting me. And then that's not tickling anymore.
Yeah.
But, but it is something later in life. Like, I would have liked to have had that with my partner. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it would have been a fun,
example.
Yeah, it's roughhouse.
An example.
Sure.
Yeah, right. An example.
That was a hard no.
With Beth, when we first met and were dating, she was not ticklish. She is very ticklish now.
To her enjoyment.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard of this happening with women specifically after childbirth. I've only heard like three times. That's the
right,
third.
Yeah.
That's the third one.
Right.
But I've heard of this happening a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Do you think that this is something that deserves or should be researched?
I do.
We should be putting time into it.
Yeah.
And everything.
It's one of those fascinating things because it's all brain.
Yeah.
It's all brain. This is not the fact that we're talking about you being able to turn it off. Someone who is not ticklish becomes ticklish. That means it's all here. It's all in the head.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a fascinating thing because they're not just going to learn about tickling. They're going to learn bunch of stuff about the brain.
Which
it's all connected.
Which we don't know. You know, there's so much about the brain that we don't know. James is trying to tickle his own
foot.
Feet.
It's not nothing. See,
here,
it's
do you want me to tickle your feet?
I did. I do have clean socks on. I do. Okay.
No,
see,
it,
yeah, see? No,
that did it.
See,
that,
it did. Yeah. See, it worked. Yeah. He wasn't expecting
we just
that
did
either.
Our own experiment.
No, I actually thought, oh, I'm good.
He's blushing.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to get me. I didn't think it was. I am still a little.
All right, yeah. All right. Now everybody knows James's feet are ticklish.
At least
it's
his
right
feet
above the heel.
That yeah, there you go. Right
heel,
right in the arch.
I didn't feel it at first. It was right there. I will say too, I don't know. I'm just enjoying so much of where we are in science and where we are technologically, where we're able to even do this stuff, and that we have the amount of time and energy to be able to do this.
Right. Like, we're not too busy trying to hunt down food.
Right. Exactly. And for everything, like anybody out there that thinks this is a silly subject and, well, we shouldn't be wasting time, effort, or money into it, I'm not going to fight you too hard on that, but I will say this. You put the brain in front of you, okay? We got this, and this figured out. Well, the only way to figure out these other things is to figure this one thing out and this other thing out that connects to that stuff. We're still mapping the brain in 2025, and that's amazing to me.
And the fact that we are now starting to tackle the mountain of mental health, you know, like to discover more about the brain, to understand why we have so much struggle with mental health in this society, in this world right now, with where we're at. These kind of things are going to help with that. Because guess what? Your brain sabotages you a lot.
Brain does a lot of stuff. Yeah.
It does a lot of stuff that we could control if we knew how to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might disagree with you with that on a little bit. I don't know if we could control it. Honestly,
I can turn off tickling. Why can't I turn off depression?
You're a sum of every experience that you've ever had to this point. Mm. And that doesn't mean that you necessarily are making free will decisions. Not to get too heavy.
Okay.
I like it, though. That's my wheelhouse.
I've been reading a lot about this recently. You can tell.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though.
But the fact that my brain can go, okay, you know what? You're just going to have a really bad day today because of these unexpected things that happened to you. And then, but there's got to be a way that I can overcome that. Right?
Right.
Not necessarily.
So I'm just going to have a bad day?
I don't know. It depends on everything that's happened to you before. It's determined by everything that's come before it. That's the thing.
All right.
That's
Seth,
the dilemma.
Let's talk off air because I have words that I can't say on air.
It's an interesting one, and I look forward to let me just get my popcorn.
There you go. Watch. Yeah.
I will say.
Better than the movies.
I don't disagree with you, though, okay. Seth. I don't. Right. I'm not like straight up disagreeing with you, but it's an interesting conversation to have. And I think it's something we should talk more about.
I agree.
As a community, as a society.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also you and I.
While there are some things uncertain about this topic and everything, one thing I am certain of, if I went to school and became a scientist, there are a few people in the world that would be more proud of me than my mother. And when I went to her and I told her, I'm going to work today, where are you working? Tickle lab? Just the look on her face.
Yeah.
I went to school for 8 years or something. Yeah. And I studied the brain. I'm going to the tickle lab. I just could imagine the look on her face. We'll take a time out. We'll come back with more morning show.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett Septic Pumper Trucks come rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you. Crockett Septic. Serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. A manhunt is on for the man suspected of killing former State House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband in their Minnesota home early this morning. Police say the person also shot and wounded State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, who live just 5 minutes away. Brooklyn Park Police Chief Mark Brule.
We do have the suspect's car. Suspect is on foot. That is what the large-scale search is currently going on. I just remind residents of Brooklyn Park, I know it's been a long time, but those that are in the grid that we gave the alert out to continue to shelter in place.
Now to the Middle East, where Iran has launched new missile attacks on Israel and is accusing the U.S. of being complicit in Israel's attack on Tehran. Now the mediator between the U.S. and Iran says there will be no nuclear talks tomorrow. Middle East expert Will Todman on what this means for President Trump.
He seems to have grown frustrated with the lack of success in those talks. The Iranians tend to negotiate very slowly and be very slow to make concessions. And so I think he's now viewing these military actions by Israel as a way of increasing pressure on Iran to make those concessions and ultimately come to a deal.
In the nation's capital, a festival is going on celebrating both the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army as well as President Trump's 79th birthday. WTOP Scott Gelman.
There's a ton of fencing lining the streets of downtown D.C., which will be filled with tanks and other military equipment later today. A fitness competition kicks things off, and then there's a day-long festival on the National Mall. Attendees will get the chance to meet NFL players and Army soldiers and see Army equipment and interactive displays up close. The parade along Constitution Avenue starts at 6:30, and fireworks are scheduled for 9:45. Many roads are closed, and visitors will be screened through security checkpoints. Flights won't be taking off or landing at Reagan National Airport while a military flyover goes by. Several demonstrations are scheduled too. The festival and parade also fall on President Donald Trump's 79th birthday. Scott Gelman for CBS News Washington.
There are, in fact, scores of so-called No Kings demonstrations planned over President Trump's policies. Correspondent Allie Bauman.
Organizers say they're expecting hundreds of thousands of people to come out in New York City alone. And there are 2,000 such protests planned across the country today. It's been dubbed the No Kings Day of Action. And these demonstrations were in the works before all the protests we've been seeing throughout the week.
Pope Leo XIV not only wore a Chicago White Sox hat at the Vatican this week, this afternoon, he's making his very first address to U.S. audiences via a virtual appearance at his beloved baseball team's ballpark. Sorry, Cubbies. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark